This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Rainbow Report. News and current affairs for the Rainbow community.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the assistance of Dr. Mary Lou Rasmussen from Monash University. Now, Alina Mohammadali is a lawyer and social justice activist based in Melbourne. She's from a Pakistani background, and she's a founder and co-facilitator of Queer Muslims in Australia. It's a Yahoo group for and by Australian LGBTIQ Muslims who, quote, wish to engage in a safe space online. She's going up to Sydney to speak at a Mardi Gras conference this weekend, but first she's on the line with us now. Good evening, Alina.
Good evening, Doug. How are you?
I'm very well. It's a long time since you and I spoke.
It is. It has been, in fact.
And you've been very busy in the meantime. How's the... You've got a family now, of course, haven't you?
We do. We have a 22-month-old boy, so he keeps us very busy.
Oh, I hope we haven't woken him up or anything and you've got him off to sleep nicely.
No, he's gone to bed, so...
Oh, that's good. Now, tell us about this conference you're going up to, first of all.
Well, I was approached by Muslims Against Homophobia, which is a Sydney-based activist group. It's made up of mainly Turkish people who decided that there needed to be more visibility of both Muslims and non-Muslims supporting LGBTIQ Muslims, basically. Yep. And so they were involved in Mardi Gras and a float last year, and again are actually going to be running a float. And they came to the QMs in Australia group because the major distinction between our two groups is that our group is very particular about all members of our group must identify with Islam in whatever shape, form, or whatever they want. But we don't actually have non-Muslims on our group.
Right.
But they have to have some sort of connection with their spiritual or religious identity, whether they like it or don't.
Okay, and so this is all part of making it a safe space, yeah? So they
exactly, we ask questions, we try and find out how did the person find out about the group, we ask, you know, mm-hmm. and we filter that way. And
yeah.
we don't make any apologies for it. It's been highly successful in keeping, people who may not actually understand what's going through our lives off the list.
Yeah.
And keeping the right people on the list.
Now, you intimated that things are actually slowly getting better for queer Muslims, that there is perhaps a tad more acceptance in the broader Muslim community nowadays?
I think there's been a couple of changes, shall we say, in that here in Australia, on every front, we do move a little bit slower than the rest of the world. And if I think about the Yahoo group, we have about 110 members now. Now, when I started the group 7 years ago, I only had three people. And so 7 years is not a very long time to grow to 100. But when I look back at the list, I think we've probably got about 40 of them in the last just 2 years or something, you know, or 2.5 years, which says to me more and more people are looking for safe spaces. And part of that reason is not just the fact that they're looking for something for themselves, but what they're seeing world over. And in countries like England and America and Canada, where there is, you know, highly visible queer Muslim support groups, I think that's changing the world, especially with the growth of the internet. 7 years ago, if you Google queer Muslims in Australia, we didn't exist. Well, 8 years ago, now mm-hmm. we do. Now, if you Google queer Muslims today, and I bet you did that, Doug, because you're very thorough. Bet you get hundreds of thousands of lists of groups now. I'm in touch with people in practically every corner of the globe. Mm.
It's very noticeable, even in places where you would think that it was extremely dangerous to identify yourself as a queer Muslim, yet there are websites and there are lists and there are news stories put together, particularly in the Arab world, which you would never have seen only a few years ago. Mary Lou.
Absolutely.
I mean, part of the reason that I'm doing this research that I'm doing about cultural and religious difference in sexuality education is because I also want to be able to talk about the different ways that people are bringing together sexuality and religion, including queer Muslims. So I think that often when people think about sexuality and religion, they think conservatively, not progressively. And I think that they're, like there's different ways that you can imagine these things in conjunction with one another.
Absolutely. I mean, we all know the word homosexuality wasn't even coined until, you know, what, 200 years ago or something odd like that. Mm. And yet there's always been different forms of diverse sexual orientation and gender identity found in the East, like for thousands and thousands of years. But we continue to put this Western lens of what we decide sexuality is, and you should tick these boxes, and this is how it's done. And then you go to countries which, like Doug said, Arab countries, where there is, you know, openly and not so openly, but accepted, you know, homosexual activity. And, you know, we just can't seem to cope because we think, no, it's the law, so therefore nobody does this, and it's illegal and ooh, bad. But then you have an entire subsector of society that operates quite well and doesn't have the issues that we think or imagine that they must have. And that's not to say people aren't persecuted. Of course, I'm not an idiot. But, you know, I mean, I think having lived in Pakistan and being Pakistani myself, I'm well aware of both the underground, you know, queer world, as well as the openly queer world too.
I just had a question come in from Jason, who it relates to what we were talking about before, but I think it segues into what we're talking about here too. He said, do you believe it's possible to be gay and to be Christian? And do you believe it's possible to be gay and to be Muslim? Obviously you do, but how do you square that particular circle? Because both the Christian religion and the Muslim faith, on the face of it, do not have room for homosexuals.
Well, see, the thing is that I mean, I get that question all the time, and I have to turn around and say, well, obviously, you know, I exist, so, you know.
Good answer.
And then I smile nicely, so I don't look like a total cow. Look, I mean, you can go with the literal reading of homosexuality in the Bible, and even, you know, the Quran, you know, alluding to Sodom and Gomorrah, and all those stories of unspeakable cruelty and unnatural acts and blah, blah, blah. And then you can look back again and see that, oh, wow, guess what? Lesbians don't exist in either of the texts. And therefore, go nuts, women, because we won't even count your sexuality. And that's just as offensive as as the other stories. But, why live in that world? Why live in that world where there is so much hatred and so much black and white of you're wrong and I'm right? I mean, I don't even bother to engage in the discussion any longer than I need to with most people who try and have put that opinion on me that, oh, no, you can't, you know, Islam is this.
I think that's an excellent point. Like, it also, like, that question assumes that, like, you know, that there's one univocal way of thinking about religion. And, I mean, clearly we know there's not. Like, religion's much more complex than that.
Yeah, religion doesn't just come with a set of instructions and that's the end of it. Although I think the fundamentalists in all religions would like it to be like that. I mean, we heard Margaret Court not long ago, for example, saying, everything you ever need to know, every situation you never need to an answer to, it's all there in the Bible. You don't need anything else. You can just go to the Bible and that's where the rules are.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, I also want to make the distinction that for me, I do say I'm Muslim, but I'm very much, you know, saying I'm Muslim with strength leaning on or pointing towards the fact that this is about spirituality. Mm. You know, this is about faith and this is about belief, but this is not about ignorance or that kind of fundamentalism where I'm just going to take the word of God and say, well, you know what, this was revealed, so let's just basically just do it and shut up. No, I wasn't raised that way. And that's one of the reasons I'm one of the few lucky ones, because I am out to my parents and, you know, they accept our child as their grandson. So I know I am a rarity. And that's one of the reasons why I'll be speaking at this conference on Saturday, to not just tell other potential Muslims in the crowd, hey, guess what, you're not alone, but also to tell other people in the queer community, you know, that there are those kind of stereotypes that, you know, you need to break away. I recently spoke at a vintage men dinner, And I got some questions that I was very surprised by, and some were very good and some were not so good.
Yeah.
But it was good for me to do this because of the fact that, you know, here I'm talking to people from my community in that we're all queer. However, I'm having to challenge their assumptions on what being Muslim is as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, talking about invisible groups and people that not supposed to exist, vintage men is another one of them. Because the older I get, the more invisible I seem to become.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Yes, I get physically bigger, I get more and more invisible somehow. It's very strange. I'll have to go back to dyeing my beard again, I think.
That'll be the next topic, the next report.
Yeah, well, you know, since my beard went white, you know, I seem to have disappeared into the woodwork, except around Christmas when small children stare at me. But
probably excited. You should look at it as a compliment.
Anyway, Alina, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Have a good time at Mardi Gras. I presume you're going to be marching.
No, in fact, I'm only going to be going up just for the conference.
Can't leave the bub behind for too long.
Yeah, it means that I have to plan my days away.
What's the conference?
The conference is called, and I'm going to get this wrong, Queer Thinking. It's at the Seymour Centre in Sydney, and it runs just on the Saturday. It's on the Mardi Gras website. More details there. And I'm speaking at 12 o'clock with my session's titled In Conversation with Alina Muhammad Ali, and I'll be having a chat with Sekhna Beckett, who is a fantastic psychologist who actually does a lot of work with the Muslim community in Australia, and sorry, in Sydney, and with LGBTIQ people. So it'll be an interesting conversation.
Yep, and there's also other sessions. For example, Do You See Me Behind the Mask of the Asian Gay Man?
That's right.
Which is another one. Alina, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
You too. Well, that was Alina Muhammad Ali from Muslims Against Homophobia, and this has been The Rainbow Report. Don't forget, details of everything you've heard will be on the rainbowreporter.com website for links.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.